Mick Williams, Cyberline with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US, host at cyberlashline.com, and of course over at facebook.com/cyberlinenet, and the Tweety over at cyberlineusa. I don't know what happened there. Tongue went in the wrong spot. Okay, a couple of things. First off, real quick, because I know you've got one there I just want to point out because we missed it last week. Have you seen the new GM logo?
I have not.
Fifth time in 100-something years of the company, GM has changed their logo. And because they are going into electric cars and they want people to know that they're going to be the big boy in electric cars, they have changed their logo.
Oh, I see it now.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of a sky blue, and it looks almost like a cross between neon tubes and electrical cords. And this is one of the things that they're trying to do to get people. And there's a new slogan. I forget what it was that they've come up with as well. And they're also going to invest $1 billion Canadian dollars in a Canada plant to manufacture electric vans. And they've reached a tentative agreement with the labor union, Unifor, to invest nearly $1 billion Canadian in the CAMI assembly plant in Ingersoll, Ontario, to manufacture commercial electric vans.
Right.
So they are getting very serious about building electric stuff.
Huh. Well, the logo's pretty looks pretty good. The funny thing, that blue color is, you know, everybody's adopting that for their electric vehicle. If you look at the Toyota has a hint of blue around it on the electric vehicles.
Yeah.
So at least in their Toyota logo. And you know, there's a lot of neat things about electric cars that are coming down the pike. Really, we're in that mid phase of trying to look at electric cars and see what they can do and try to make them that are good enough. But a lot of the new vehicles are coming out as hybrids. And then they've also got the PHEV, the plug-in hybrid electric vehicles.
Yeah.
The plug-in, if I'm going to get a new hybrid, I want the plug-in. And the reason being is because then it lets me have dual fuels.
Yeah, if I had a choice between all electric and a hybrid, I'd go with hybrid. And that's one of the things that bothered me because, you know, Volkswagen is bringing back the old bus.
Mm-hmm.
And are going to make it electric. And last year, I think, or this year, was the last that they made the Volkswagen Beetle. They got rid of it. And I'm thinking, that thing just screams hybrid, if not electric. And I would ditch the van because I don't think that van is going to be worth electric, especially at the exorbitant costs that they're going to want to charge people for it. You know how with everybody else is electric.
Right.
And the Beetle is known. People love the Beetle. Yeah, they love the van, but they love the Beetle more. And even just make it come back out as a hybrid to start with, at least, you know, it's a good footing. And then maybe come back around and say, okay, now we're going to figure out a way to make it electric. And it's beautiful for it. I mean, you know, it ran off a four-cylinder engine before, and really you could run off of two cylinders if it got bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be great to do, and I think the Germans would sell a lot of them.
Right. And, you know, I've been looking at hybrid vehicles myself. I think that there's a lot of interesting technology that's come down the pike lately, and that includes, you know, when you stop, the brakes recapture the electricity that you're using to stop at that time. They actually have generators that, you know, pull the electricity back and charge the battery, which is kind of pretty cool. So they do that. What else is there? You know, the plug-in HEVs, they've got the hybrids out there. And the hybrids, what they do is they've got a gas-powered engine in there, and then they've also got electric motors in there. So the plug-ins are, the motor is always constantly charging the battery.
Right.
And then you've got the electricity that's powering the vehicle. I'm trying to figure out if there's any crossover. I think they do something to where the engine also powers the vehicle itself.
Yeah, so they can.
Yeah.
They can do that with a lot of them.
They've got both those things in there. But the plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, the hybrids, they don't have as much horsepower. The ones that I've seen as the gas-powered engines.
Yeah.
Now, they do have the plug-in hybrid electric vehicles that have both the fuel efficiency, and they've got the extra horsepower you want. So it brings it back up there to the same level as a gas-powered vehicle as far as the horsepower is concerned. Really, really what I would want, that's what I'd like, the PHEVs, because they've got the best of both worlds. It's dual fuel. You can plug it in at your house. Now, you got to get the special equipment. It's going to have to be, you know, do the 220 volts at your house in order to get it to charge quickly. But then you've got 40 miles worth of electricity that you could just run it off that. And, you know, most of the trips that you make, they're only going to be to and from a, you know, head down the street to the convenience store, department store, wherever you're going to go. You're just going to go not very far, come back.
Yeah, and I wasn't a big fan of the hybrids, mainly because, you know, you look at the Prius and what was it, Honda, I forget what the one was. It wasn't a Civic, but they were small, didn't hold a lot of things or people. And then the batteries are pretty new, and they talked about, well, what happens when the batteries go out? Because, you know, you're going to have to replace those. And times have changed. There's now actually companies, there's a few of them around here in Dallas, where they will actually take your batteries and recondition them, just like you would with a, you know, lead acid battery that you have in a car. You turn it in, pay a cord charge or whatever, and they go off and recondition them, rebuild them, and use them. And they do that too. And now you look at the hybrids, you know, now you can go out and get a Lexus hybrid. You can go out and get a Hyundai hybrid and you know, big car with four doors and actually, you know, carry people and things. And so they've come a long way. And there was, I think it was Kia even has a hybrid because it was big in Japan for a while. And a couple of years ago, it came over here into the States. And I forget what they call it. And then I think they're backing up with an electric one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now with these SUVs, crossovers and stuff being in hybrid, it makes a lot more sense. They get good gas mileage. They get good range. The thing that scares me about the electrics is the range. You know, if you're trying to travel cross country, and of course there's not that many charging stations as there should be, and you might end up getting stuck somewhere and you don't have any way to charge up, or, you know, you're kind of in a world of hurt.
Yeah. And the as far as the batteries are concerned, they're an expensive prospect. You know, they can be up to $8,000. Well, not up to. I mean, they can be $8,000.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a high price, and I hope to get the cheaper ones you're talking about. But you always get into warranty issues if you go that direction.
Yeah.
But hopefully, once everything's outside the warranty, then you can be free to pick your own battery and make it a bit cheaper. The battery technologies are changing too, because they've been talking about ultra capacitors, and ultra capacitors. They're looking at, you know, incorporating these ultracapacitors in as batteries. They're two different technologies. You've got the, you know, those lead acid batteries or the, lithium ion. Which is the technology that they use in there?
There's a lot going on. Lithium ion, I think, is the big one, but they're also can only do so much. So they're always trying to find bigger and better.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things with the batteries, you know, because a lot of times they talked about, well, great, you get a hybrid, but it might not be good resale value because of the battery. You know, if the battery's bad and you got to turn around and replace it, well, that kind of takes out the resale value. But the batteries, from my understanding, have gotten a lot better. And of course, you can recondition them like these others do. So that makes it a lot more easier to have a better resale value and, you know, sell it off when you decide you want to get something bigger or whatever.
Yeah, they do last a lot longer. From my understanding, they're supposed to last the life of the car now. But
yeah.
I kind of, when I hear that, I'm kind of going, okay, what's the life of a car? Are we looking at, you know, more than 20 years? Because that could be the life of a car.
Here's something funny. When did the first hybrid come out? I'm trying to remember because it was either late 90s or early aughts.
Well, the first popular one that I remember was the Toyota Prius.
Okay. And Honda Insight, I think, was the other one.
Was it?
It was their first one.
And I'm not sure. I'm not saying the Prius was the first one, but it was the first one it was the really first popular one.
Right. It really took off.
Mm-hmm.
But correct me if I'm wrong. If not now, but within the next few years, those that people first bought those are probably going to be considered antique status.
Uh-huh.
Because generally, you were 25 years or more, that's generally considered antique. Of course, now in Texas, we don't hand out antique license plates. They're classic car plates. But it's very possible those first ones, if people have held on to them, they're not in a scrapyard somewhere, they probably will become antique cars.
Right. Well, if I get one of these, if I get a hybrid, I'm going to want the all-wheel drive vehicle. I want the plug-in hybrid electric vehicle to get the extra horsepower. I want it also to get the advantage of being able to drive it around just on electricity for the short little hops around the city that I might be doing.
You want to be able to stand out of the window on the 11th floor and point your little thing out to the parking lot and make it turn on like the old cars? Yeah.
Yep.
Got to do that or the deal's off with Bob.
Yep. And the other thing is, you know, we've talked about this before at a different time, but we were just talking about this bird's eye view camera. Love the way they do this technology now. You know, when you're backing up a vehicle, they've got the screen that can come up to where it looks like you've got a bird flying over your, you know, a drone above your vehicle, and it's looking down on it. And the way they do that, they've got four cameras on the vehicle. There's two, you know, there's one in front, there's one in back, and then there's one under each mirror. So it's kind of funny. If you ever get in and do one of these, look at one of these overview cameras, if you take your hand and you put it out your window and you put it underneath, you'll see a giant hand next to the car on your screen. But the way they do it, it looks like you've got a bird's eye view over your car. And if you're trying to back your vehicle up into a parking spot, wow, you can nail it every time because you know exactly where you are in the lines. You don't have to get out and look at it again or figure out if you've parked too far back. You'll know exactly where you are with the car behind you. There's disclaimers on there that they say, don't do that. Yeah, you know, it might not be as accurate as you think.
I'm driving the Infiniti G37 that was Dad's, and I parked my convertible, my Sebring, at the house because it's 207,000 miles, and I was driving the Infiniti back and forth to work. So I'm now driving the Sebring again, just taking it out on the weekends and, you know, keeping it going and stuff, which is what I was supposed to do in the first place. So I took it out one day, and I pulled up to the mailbox, one of those community mailboxes a couple blocks down the road, and I was going to get out and get the mail. So first thing I did was I went to go turn on my hazard flashers, so people know it was there, and I couldn't find them. And so I'm like, okay, well, I got the door open. They should, you know, see what's going on. So I went in, and I got the mail out of the box, got back in the car, and I'm looking around going, I've had this car all these, I know there's flashers here. Where are they? And on the Infiniti, it's on the dash right in front of the navigational screen. Well, I don't have one of those in this. It's a 2006. And I thought it was up on the dash. I looked everywhere. I couldn't find it. So finally, I got back to the house, and I'm still screwing around trying to find this thing. And I went and touched the dash where the speedometer and everything was, and all of a sudden there was this bump under my hand. And I went back. The switch for the flashers in the Sebring is on top of the steering column.
Really?
And you can't see it when you have the... Yeah. So all this time, I haven't driven it, and I'm like freaking out. It's like, I know I have flashers.
No, I've had that kind of a vehicle before on the steering column itself. Yeah. Well, not on the steering wheel, the column.
It's a black button. Uh-huh. You press it in, it clicks, and they come on. You click it again, and they go off.
Right.
But you can't see it because the way the column is angled, you know, you really have to kind of look over the steering wheel and go, oh, there it is. Well, normally I used to know where it was. I put my hand there, find it, and click it on.
You know, but you got so many other features on these cars nowadays too. You know, that's a little thing that you're missing there. They've got the issues where you can find the button and flip it on the, you know how you, on the rear view mirror that you flip the thing down and it gives it to where you can see the headlights behind you. It makes them darker so you don't really get blinded by that stuff. Well, on these new ones, some of them have it to where if you flip that thing down, it turns it into TV mode. So instead of seeing the mirror on there, you're actually seeing from the rear view camera. And if you had anything behind you in the cargo area of your vehicle, the trunk area of your SUV, it's going to look right past that as a TV screen, and you know, fantastic. The technology that's coming out today is just awesome. Not just that, but they've got the cruise control to where it's got radar on it.
Yep.
And if you click the button, instead of just being set to cruise, it will watch the car in front of you and it will back off. If that car slows down, your vehicle's going to slow down too.
Yeah, I got to fix the cruise control on the Sebring, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. Final minutes. We'll be right back. McWilliams Cyberline with you. I'm not going to give you out the rest right now. It's the end of the show. So while we got time, Bob, you had a couple of things left from CES.
I did. One of the things that caught my attention was there is a company called BuyHampton.com. And what they do, it's a Benji Lock, BenjiLock. But what's cool and different about these locks are they're fingerprint based. And so they've got padlocks here that you use your thumb to open it up. Or they've also got a bike lock. That was kind of one of their big announcements at CES. They've got a new bike lock out there. You know, those big, sturdy, I don't know what they're made of, but that hardened metal that you put on your bike that's a big U. And then
tungsten steel thing.
Oh, yeah. It's got that stuff on there. But the base of it, it's got a fingerprint on there as well. I just think they're really cool to have a padlock like that that you don't have to fumble around with and try to start doing the numbers on the bottom of it.
Or, yeah, I hated those.
Yeah, or anything else. It just makes things a lot easier. How about those levers? Remember those? The ones that got the levers on there? But being able to just put your thumb in there and have it work that way. I don't know if these work this way, too, that, you know, one of the things you got to watch out for is what happens if the battery goes out in these things, right? And I don't know if these work this way, but some of the other locks out there that I've seen that do have batteries, that operate off batteries, they'll actually have a little nub down there at the bottom that you can take a 9-volt battery and you can touch it there, charge the thing up, and then you can put your thumb on there or type in the code that you need to. So they have thought these things through on these battery, you know, battery powered things that might go bad and might have the battery that goes bad while you're trying to use it. But all in all, I just thought it was a very neat technology. So that one's buyhampton.com. And but you scroll on down at first towards the top, they've got all these, just locks that go on the house. But if you go towards the bottom, you'll actually see the padlocks. And the padlocks are what I thought was just a little bit of an innovation that I hadn't seen before that could help. So that one's one.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of 9-volt batteries, you know, Eveready has their line of lithium-ion batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get them in pen lights and AAAs and stuff. They've now been coming out with button cell batteries. And they have the lithium-ion CR2032s, which are very much used in computers for the CMOS clock. And they come in a pack of four for like $7. I've been using those to update all the computers with.
Uh-huh.
And also, they now have 9-volt batteries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you have smoke alarm, in my case, I've got my old Radio Shack digital voltmeter. I've been trying to get up and running instead of putting a Duracell in it. I went out and got a 9-volt lithium-ion. And they work really good.
Oh, that's cool.
Plus, they don't, well, 9 volts generally never leaked. At least I've never ended any.
Mm-hmm.
But the lithium ion should last a lot longer than the Duracells. And you were also talking about the different search engines and stuff. And you said there was one that's from France.
Quant. It was Q-W-A-N-T. I believe it was from France. I had to go back and look and see if it where it was for sure. But I think it's that one's from France. And, yeah, there's just a few out there. There's still Dogpile. I don't remember if you remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still there. There's just a number of them out there today. So Bing, I've been kind of running over to Bing a little bit lately, but the search engine I've got on my phone right now is Quant, Quant.com.
There were some other stations were talking about CES coming out, and they were talking about the good old days. And you remember Jeeves?
Oh, yeah. And Ask Jeeves.
I think it was Ask Jeeves, and then later became Ask.com. I don't even know if they're still around or not. But when I was at Comdex in 2000, they had a guy dressed as a butler that was there at the booth that would answer questions about it when it first came out. And I got a picture of me with the guy on one of my Casio cameras, of all things. And they were talking, making jokes about it. I said, now, wait a minute. Jeeves wasn't that bad of a search engine in the beginning. I'm sure it got eaten by somebody because it changed to ask.com and probably Yahoo or somebody bought them.
You're right. There's Ask over there.
Yeah. I have to go look and see how they're going. But there's plenty out there that you can use other than Google. I guess you could use Yahoo. They don't seem to be stepping into your bounds too much like Google is.
You know, I know that we're going to run out of time on this, but there was...
Talk quick.
Too big a story to cover this. Maybe we'll cover it next week.
Okay. All right. So CES is in the hopper, and next comes that dude who is going to be sworn in as the next president, supposedly. And we'll know that Wednesday, and then we'll see how the markets react. We'll see how tech reacts and everything else, and we'll talk about it next week. So until then, in the words of the great immortal Orson Welles, we remain, as always, obediently yours. Good night.